Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We are live here on Monday morning, June 9th. Welcome to summer in Montana. Apparently all this smoke here is coming down from Canada. We got some fires up in British Columbia. Unfortunately, cannot see the Beartooth this morning. Let me just run through a couple of headlines I wanted to kind of talk about last Friday, and I didn't. And then we've got a stack show, of course. What's going on in L.A. here over the weekend is a big national news story. Elon Musk last night supporting the Trump administration. So it looks like there's a detente there. All good stuff. I've got a whole host of Montana stories. Some good stuff here. Got global warming stories. The whole deal. There's a new surgical unit and an operation center here in Billings at the Billings Clinic. Pretty impressive story that came out last week about the new surgical intensive care unit, be the first of its kind here in Montana. And it basically is going to be, it's going to prevent folks in Montana from having to be sent to larger cities such as Denver and Seattle. So there's a new surgical center here in Billings at the Billings Clinic, level one trauma center. So no more, no more flights, I guess, to Denver and Seattle for a lot of those things. You can be taken care of here in Billings. So that's good news. FBI has announced a reward on Friday for missing 13-year-old Crow Girl. This is a story by Charlie Kleps. The FBI is holding a press conference Friday offering an award for any information regarding a 13-year-old girl from Gary Owen who has been missing since October. So Wade Burdenground, an autistic girl, first disappeared from Crow Agency on October 6th. Wade Burdenground, the girl's father, spoke with MTN Thursday. He says they don't know where she's at. So FBI is looking to get any tips from anybody out there. So if anybody out there knows about Wade Burdenground, the missing girl from Crow Agency, contact the FBI. I didn't know about this. So Montana has now a safe haven baby box. I did not know about this. There's a baby box here in Montana now that offers a secure, anonymous way for parents to surrender a newborn. This is a story by Andrea Lutz. She talks about how in Lockwood, this is in Lockwood, Montana, the state has a safe haven baby box, a secure, anonymous way for parents to legally surrender their newborn without fear of judgment or prosecution. The box is at the Lockwood Fire District Station. And the only question is out there is sort of, are people going to actually be using it? They say that we hope we don't have the box used, but we hope that somebody uses it if necessary. And so that's good news. There was a blessing given to the first baby box in Montana here just last week. A blessing given by Nick Anderson, the chaplain for the Montana State Firefighters, gave the blessing to make the official opening of the Safe Haven baby box in Montana, in Lockwood. So, didn't know about that. Now you do. We've got a Safe Haven baby box at the Lockwood Fire Department. So, all good little news bits for you right there to start the show.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area for today, highs from the mid-80s in Bozeman to around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, low temperatures from the mid-50s in Bozeman, low 60s in Billings. Then on Tuesday, with a mix of clouds and sun, a few afternoon showers or thundershowers possible, mainly in Bozeman, with high temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Securing America.
The current defense budget of $850 billion could jump by 14% to the first over $1 trillion defense budget for fiscal year 2026. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth on Fox and Friends Friday on what he says the Pentagon will do with the new budget.
We need warriors, and we need to make sure we're deterring our enemies in order to do that. And this is the big key message, because these are all budget hearings, is rebuild our military. President Trump did it in his first term. He's going to do it in this term.
Hegseth will also tell the House committee that the president plans historic investments in fighter jets and shipbuilding, as well as the Golden Dome, hypersonics, and drones.
We have the best military in the world, and we will soon have by far the most advanced and capable military in the world.
The secretary was in France last week calling on NATO allies to increase their defense spending by 5% to share the burden. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. That is Noble with a K. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. I'm also a lawyer here in Billings. We got a message here from the USS Montana Committee. The USS Montana Committee awards first scholarship to a submarine crew member. So there's there are some open applications opening on October 1st of this year. So the USS Montana Committee has awarded its first annual scholarship to Petty Officer First Class Eric Rodriguez, a commissioning crew member, plank owner of the USS Montana, which is a Navy ship, I believe. The $2,000 scholarship supports higher ed of former and current USS Montana crew members and their families. The USS Montana Committee is a nonprofit to support the 2022 submarine commissioning and the current crew members. And so the scholarship is administered by the Dolphin Scholarship Foundation. Will reopen on October 1st. 2022. If you want more information about the scholarship and the USS Montana Committee, go to ussmontanacommittee.us, ussmontanacommittee.us. All right, got all that stuff out of the way, it looks like. So let's, this was a hilarious story that I saw last week that actually has to do with the Daily Mail, a UK newspaper that says a mysterious exodus from idyllic Montana mountain town despite state booming for years. I've also got a story here about Montana population growth slowing, but there are still hot spots. So what is the mysterious idyllic Montana mountain town that has a exodus that at least the UK Daily Mail considers to be a mountain town? I'll cover that right now. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, thanks so much for calling.
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. David, good to speak with you. I'm all wired up today, I tell you. There's so much news. I have two questions for you. One of them is legal. Elon Musk, we touched down on him last Friday. I remembered that he, this past weekend, that he is autistic. He has Asperger's. And, you know, he's showing signs of this, in my opinion. His behavior pattern, and he's very combative lately. Do you agree or disagree that it could be due to his Asperger's? And the other question has to do with this El Salvadorian, this M13 character, this Garcia. Okay, we've paid to get this guy extradited to El Salvador, and he was in prison. So now the taxpayers of America, we paid to get him back into our country to go on trial for crimes. Now, this is my question. We're going to go through a trial, and we're going to pay for his lawyers and everything else, legal fees. And so I'm pretty sure the guy will be convicted. He'll be found guilty. And then his lawyers, correct me if I'm wrong on this, His lawyers will probably appeal the case, and we're going to have to go through all this again. This is another expenditure on the taxpayers. We're going to have to get double pay for this character's legal fees. And you know what we're seeing in L.A. right now could become nationwide, and I'm really worried that a lot of these extremists will use this M13 Garcia character just to do more riots, rioting, and destruction here in our country. So what do you think? Am I right here on the appeals? Is this going to really hit our pocketbooks as taxpayers?
Definitely possible, definitely could. I think it's going to depend a lot on whether Garcia gets a public defender. So the U.S. doesn't just pay legal fees for criminal defendants. That's not how it works. We have what's called a federal public defender system. And if you're low income, if you're poor, if you don't have any assets, you don't have any income, you don't have any money, then the federal public defender's office will assign a federal public defender to you. And then you've got a public defender because you're broke. And those are lawyers that are on salary. They work for the government all the time anyway. Certainly, you know, that's a cost, but there's no like if Garcia ends up having private lawyers, I'm no expert on criminal law for that matter. Don't know anything about the charges he's laid against him or what the rules are. But my understanding is that typically the U.S. does not have to pay private legal fees for criminal defendants. Sometimes they'll provide them with a public defender for free, but they have to meet certain criteria, things like that. Second of all, I'd say, yeah, definitely this is going to cost us money. No question it costs the U.S. money to prosecute criminals, to put them in prison for life. It's very expensive, and yet they absolutely have the right to appeal it. All that stuff, absolutely true. Going back to Elon Musk and your comment on Elon Musk, I have no idea if he's got autism or Asperger's or not. I have no idea what is truly deep down causing sort of the rift with Trump. But I did have sort of one unique thought this weekend when I was thinking about this, because I was talking to a bunch of people this weekend. I mean, the Elon Musk Trump dispute is kind of a big topic out there, right? Everybody's talking about it. So I talked to a bunch of people about it this weekend. I sort of came away with this thought that, okay, it's probably not sort of what everybody is saying in public. I think what originally drove it, it was not sort of Musk being mad about EVs. It was not Musk being mad about the spending, although that's sort of related. What I think it is Musk got mad when he realized he doesn't have the kind of power and influence that he thought he had over Congress, over the White House. And I think his realization that he lacks the power and influence to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, I think that's what put him over the edge. But that's just my speculation. Who knows? Thanks so much for the call, Nancy. We'll be right back.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story of economic growth in communities and regions around Montana goes on, even if very little attention is paid to it. Short of the occasional bad news story about a closure or shutdown, news on the economy of the state is hard to find. Let's fill that void a little bit with a mid-year assessment of how we're doing. Most of us know that Bozeman and Gallatin Valley are pacing growth, but the degree to which that economy is leaving the rest of the state behind is still stunning. Since 2018, the state economy has grown by about 28%, a great performance. Gallatin County's growth is more than double that, over 60%. It might be more surprising to hear that growth in Missoula and Helena are practically equal, right at the state average. With Missoula suffering two separate wood products closures, its continued growth is a pleasant surprise. Two cities that have not kept up with the state average are Billings and Great Falls for a variety of reasons. Visit our webpage to see more. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. I didn't recognize the 917 New York number which called me, but there was no question who phoned after they left a message. The caller on the voicemail was utterly unmistakable. They didn't say their name. They didn't have to. Chad, you're the only one who missed me, croaked the voice. The voicemail was from the late New York Democrat Charlie Rangel, and he was essentially calling to assure me that he wasn't dead. After all, I was apparently the only member of the Congressional Press Corps who noticed that the New York Democrat had not voted or been anywhere near the U.S. Capitol in several weeks. I called his office to inquire if Rangel was all right, and then Rangel himself called me from his sickbed so I could hear his signature jackhammer chopping through the asphalt of Manhattan voice to prove to this reporter that he was still among the living. "I wanted you to hear it from me," said Rangel. He suffered from a bad back and a viral infection. Rangel passed away recently at age 94. But back in 2012, I may have been the only person who noticed that Rangel was absent. But I certainly won't be the only one now. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
10 years ago, in June 2015, Donald Trump announced he was running for president. When we asked voters about him a couple of months later, our Fox News survey found he had 90% name recognition and 34% had a favorable view of him as a person. These days, Trump is more popular. His favorability rating stands at 45%, up 11 points. Most of that increase comes from an improved image among his base. Positive views are up 15 points among white evangelical Christians, 33 points among Republicans, and 37 points among self-described very conservatives. That's not all. Trump has also made gains among groups that traditionally vote Democratic. Since 2015, his favorability rating is up by 13 points among black voters, 11 points among both college graduates and those under age 30, and 10 points among women. Give our website a favorable rating, foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanta. That's your Poll Parade.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, over the weekend, a new World Livestock Auctioneer champion was crowned in Dunlap, Iowa, as part of the 2025 Livestock Marketing Association Annual Convention. And congratulations this morning to Dean Edge from Rimby, Alberta, this year's world champion. LMA also announced the location of next year's convention and WLAC competition, Deadwood and St. Ange, South Dakota. Last night, I talked with St. Ange Livestock's Justin Tupper.
St. Ange Livestock would love to congratulate world champion auctioneer Dean Edge for winning the World Livestock Auctioneer Contest. Dean is from Canada, a great guy, will represent the industry very, very well. We are also very excited to announce that the World Auctioneer Contest will be coming to St. Ange, South Dakota next year. LMA Convention will be in Deadwood. World Champion Auctioneer Contest right here in St. Ange, South Dakota. That'll be June 17th through the 20th. Hope you'll make plans to be here. Again, look forward to a great year with our champion, Dean Edge. And then we'll crown a brand new champion next year right here in St. Ange, South Dakota. So great event, and thankful to the LMA for putting it on and all those that attended, and can't wait for next year.
You bet. And, of course, livestock auctions remain a vital part of the U.S. livestock industry, serving producers and assuring a fair and competitive price through the auction method of selling. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
I was raised by mountain roads and the smell of rain on dirt. Adventure didn't come with instructions. It came with sore legs, muddy jeans, and a camera roll full of places I never meant to find. Every corner of this state has something to say if you're willing to listen. And I've still got a lot of listening to do. Explore your state at visitmt.com.
Ranchers, Western Ranch Supply has a deal you don't want to miss. Get 25% off all net wrap while supplies last and in stock today. We've got Pritchett Twine and Net Wrap in stock, available in sizes for both small and big square bales. It's a great price and moving fast. Pick up only at our downtown Billings location, 303 North 13th. So hurry in to Western Ranch Supply and stock up before it's gone.
Well, farmers would have a much harder time getting conservation technical assistance under USDA's 2026 budget proposal, which would slash free and voluntary expert guidance by USDA's NRCS staff. That's because the cut to conservation technical assistance is just one of nearly $7 billion in budget cuts USDA has proposed, but they say cutting technical assistance would create a ripple effect across USDA's broader conservation programs. And finally this morning, it looks like the Biothreat Prevention Act has been introduced in the U.S. Senate, legislation that would ban federal funding to any lab or university conducting agricultural research involving nationals from China, Russia, Iran, Cuba, Venezuela, or North Korea. This comes after two Chinese researchers were charged with smuggling a fungus known to be a potential agri-terrorism weapon into the United States. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, here's the good thing is I think the Elon Musk, Donald Trump feud may be coming to an end. And the reason that I say that is because of a couple of things Elon Musk posted over the weekend. One thing he said is that he can't believe all the horrible character assassination against himself, including by himself. And so he kind of tweeted out and said that, you know, he took responsibility for assassinating his own character. And then he also was reposting and retweeting a bunch of J.D. Vance posts, including J.D. Vance posts that were just screenshots of Trump's Truth Social posts. And so basically, even Politico Playbook this morning talking about how basically Elon Musk threw himself completely behind the Trump administration last night during the Los Angeles ICE protests descended into violent chaos. Now, I don't think it was the ICE protests that necessarily caused Elon Musk to sort of suddenly get on board with the Trump administration. I think it was Elon Musk just realizing it's not doing him any good. He's not doing himself or his companies any favors by going headlong into this issue and this fight with Donald Trump. That's what I think. Who knows what's happening? Can I just say how angry I am about what's going on down in LA and seeing foreigners waving flags of other countries on American soil? It really doesn't make me all that happy. And I agree with everybody out there who's saying, including Donald Trump, send in the troops. So late last night, Trump tweeted out, send in the troops. And then if you recall, actually it was June of 2020. Remember, everybody's calling this, is this the summer of love 2.0? Is this the summer of love 2.0 5 years later? Because remember, it was the summer of 2020 where BLM and Antifa, you know, did the same thing that's going on in LA right now, burning cars, rioting in the streets, throwing rocks at police officers. It's crazy, but all the conservatives online last night referring to this as Summer of Love 2.0 thought that was a great point. But boy, is it just, it's just horrible optics. I saw another post that said today, this weekend was the best weekend for optics for the Trump administration of his entire political career. And then it had a picture of Donald Trump at the UFC fights, and Donald Trump attended the UFC fights, and he's sitting there after the match, or he's standing. It's Donald Trump standing, and he's got the UFC belt on. And then the other picture is a bunch of foreigners in LA riding and waving Mexican flags and other flags and Palestinian flags and all these other flags. And it's like, wow. Is that what the Democrats want to go in on? The Democrats want to go in on supporting illegal aliens and foreigners? The crazy thing about what they're doing in LA is what they're saying is they don't believe in immigration laws at all. Yeah, so I think what you've got going on here is a group of people in California, the radical left, the far left, and not just in California, but they do not believe in immigration laws. They're protesting against just basically the basic enforcement of our laws. That's what you got to wrap your minds around, folks, is that these leftists in California, these Democrats, they are protesting the enforcement of our laws. That's it. That's all Trump is doing. You know, you talk about ICE, you know, and these ICE enforcement and ICE arresting illegal aliens. That's federal law. That's what the law requires, and that's moral and just and everything else. These Democrats, and you can tell not only just from the fact that they're protesting this stuff, but they're saying it. They're openly saying we don't believe in enforcing immigration laws. They're saying they don't believe that it matters whether someone is here legally or illegally. They don't say any of that stuff matters. They want to give all of these illegal aliens American citizenship, and they simply can't. I don't know if they just can't process how unjust and unfair that is to everybody else other than, you know, maybe that sole person. But it's just mind-boggling and really disturbing when you realize what's at the root of this, what is really causing this. And what it is they don't believe in immigration laws. They don't believe in having a border. They're open about it. Look at the Biden administration. The Biden administration intentionally opened up our borders and allowed people to flow through. So you've got a major, major disconnect and division there. Trump, I think, Political Playbook says this morning that Trump sort of recognizes that he's got the public support on his side. When you've got Donald Trump, all Donald Trump wants to do is arrest illegal aliens and arrest criminals and deport them and prosecute them. That's all Trump wants to do. That has like 60-70% support amongst the American people. I mean, just should we enforce our immigration laws? You would hope that would be like a 60-70-80-90% type of proposition. And so I think this is one of those issues where Trump ought to go to the mat and take it to the American people. All right, let me go back to this Daily Mail story that I sort of teased right before a couple of breaks ago, because I just thought this was funny. Okay, this is from the UK Daily Mail. The UK Daily Mail says there's a mysterious exodus from an idyllic Montana mountain town. Okay, this is what it says. The idyllic town of Great Falls in Montana has seen an exodus of people while much of the state continues to attract newcomers. In the latest data from the U.S. Census Bureau, Great Falls was noted as the only large Montana city to consistently see its population decline since 2020. Great Falls lost 230 people from 23 to 24. Great Falls population decline is small compared to its population of 60,000. It remains around half the size of Billings. But isn't that hilarious? Over there in the UK, they describe Great Falls as an idyllic Montana mountain town.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We got a message from Right On John in Los Angeles. Go ahead and send me messages on the Montana Talks app, or you can call in 406-294-0970. Right On John says, don't forget that this is probably a tactical method to stop the firebombings and more towards Elon, because he is working with Trump. Elon doesn't care about the tax incentives. Sleight of hand. Elon has now a super special chip, the best battery in the world, an electric motor I'll buy because it's low cost and the most advanced charging in the EV world. Then his robot and AI, Right On Elon. Yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all, Right On John. I mean, Elon Musk and Donald Trump could have very well said, hey, let's work together and let's have this huge public split, because if we do that, if we have a huge public split, then maybe Elon's, Tesla stock will go up and the firebombings and the terrorist attacks against Tesla, maybe all that would go away. So that's a definite, possibility, I think, as well. So here's the deal, folks, about what's going on with this bill in Congress. Rand Paul appeared on Sunday Morning Futures yesterday with Maria Bartiromo, one of the last remaining and decent Sunday political shows. But he kind of explained a couple of things about where we're at spending wise, and I kind of just wanted to play a little bit of this for you. Let's see if I can get this to work. Oh, I'm not hearing any of the audio coming through, even when I've got the PC mic on. So we'll have to fix that, and I'll play some of that for you. But Rand Paul was basically talking about how, you know, he used to have a plan to balance the budget called the Penny Plan, and that was something that was really kind of supported by a lot of people because it just made sense. It's like, look, obviously Congress can't get its act together and cut spending on its own and do its job, which is to make tough decisions on how to appropriate limited amounts of money. That's what Congress is there to do primarily, is to make tough decisions on a limited, we've only got a certain amount of money, we've only got a certain amount of tax revenues, and we need to spend it. How are we going to do it? That's the point of Congress, right? But they've gone away from that. They're no longer operating on sort of a limited, now this is me talking, not summarizing Rand Paul, but Rand Paul's point was basically like now with the penny plan would have balanced the budget in 5 years. All you have to do is just cut 1% of everything. Right. And so now you actually have to cut 6% of everything in order to balance the budget in that time frame. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Senate with this big, beautiful bill, just because there's some senators out there like Rand Paul that hopefully can get some more, make the bill even more conservative. Right. You know, wouldn't that be great? This is a little bit disturbing about Montana news. It kind of says all you need to know about how. How Montana politics and law and stuff work. So here's the story by Micah Drew. He says, committee starting work on ballot initiative for nonpartisan judicial elections. A newly formed political committee here in Montana is beginning a campaign to enshrine nonpartisan judicial elections in the state constitution. Okay, remember, Governor Gianforte and the special interim committee from the legislature and the 2025 legislative session, the Republicans wanted to have partisan judicial elections so that judges or people who are running for judge or justice of the Supreme Court could identify themselves by Democrat or Republican, or you know, refuse to say or whatever it might be. So that the people would actually have a better understanding. There's other states that have done that, et cetera, et cetera. But now, so the Republicans come out and say, "Hey, we want to try to make these elections partisan." And so now there's this new organization called Montanans for Fair and Impartial Judges, and they're going to put a constitutional initiative to voters in 2026. Pepper Peterson is quoted as saying, "I think that who's a political director for this new nonprofit. I think the people of Montana can see the system here is fair. This is a common sense idea to have in our state constitution. Anything else is just raw partisanship, and I don't think most Montanans are on that train." Okay, here's the issue though. It's like, why does the left go to these initiatives all the time? Kind of makes you wonder, wait, why, what's, and here's the answer. The answer is because with these initiatives, the left can bankroll out of state millions and millions of dollars from out of state to push these initiatives with lies about what it's on them, with confusion and obfuscation about the, about why people should vote against it. And they flood the state with money. And then they have a better chance at passing an initiative on the ballot, given their sort of unlimited out-of-state money that they can spend on that, compared to, you know, trying to actually get the support of the people through the legislature, you know, through the normal political process, through the people's representatives. They can't get that way, and so they turn to the initiative process. It's the same thing that the Democrats did strategically in terms of going back to when they couldn't get, you know, Democrat agenda items passed through either Congress at the federal level, the legislature here, they turn to the courts, you know. And so that's just what the left does. Once they realize, hey, we can't achieve leftist goals through the legislature or through the governor, like, okay, let's try it through the courts. And then if you can't go through there, then you can't, and you're sort of signing up, let's have an initiative. And they love the initiatives because of the unlimited state spending. Senate Majority Leader Tom McGillivray is quoted in this article. He says, "I think that judicial reform is critical continuously. It's important for our judges to have accountability. It's important for preventative transparency, and what we did this session helped start that process." Anyway, that's going on out there. I would encourage folks, we don't need to put this in the Constitution. We don't need to have something in our Constitution that says whether or not our judicial races are partisan or not. That's certainly something that I think ought to be left up to the legislature. Here, they didn't even get it done either. Like, they want to have this initiative on the ballot simply because they're worried about the fact that that could happen. Northwest Energy has increased rates again, and they sort of did it on a weird sort of basis as well. There was a story here from June 4th by Kayla Spaler that says Northwestern Energy increases electric rates 17% in advance of a hearing. And they basically used a statute that allows them to oppose the new rate after an application had been pending, according to PSC President Brad Molnar. We're not allowed to stop it, Molnar said this week. And then just a couple of days ago, Kayla Spaler put out another story. Northwestern Energy announces another rate increase. Average electric customers will likely pay an initial $127 starting July 1st per year. Northwestern Energy electric customers could get a double whammy this summer. On May 30th, Northwestern said it planned an increase of $9 on a typical residential electric bill as part of a quarterly adjustment on electric supply. And earlier in the month, they announced it was pushing up rates 17% without regulatory approval effective May 23rd. The earlier increase is $17 a month on a typical residential house. If the PSC signs off on the recent increase, the average residential customer will be paying $127 in July. Oh, okay, so that $127 is just your sort of a typical monthly payment for electricity. That's just a lot of money. I don't care who you are. That's just a lot of money to pay for electricity. That's actually a 25% increase from May 1st to July of this year. So get ready for your electricity bills from Northwestern Energy to start going way, way up. And don't kid yourself that the reason for that is because of Democrat policies that hate fossil fuels, that prevent fossil fuel development and power plants, and push very, very expensive and inefficient green energies like windmills and solar panels. By the way, there's a Democrat out there running for Senate right now that keeps posting about how the Democrats love our Montana mountains and want to keep them open and wild. And I'm just like, have you not read any books lately? Have you not read The Crazies by Amy Gamerman? Like, do these Democrats out there not realize that the Democrats actually want to put up industrial massive windmills and wind farms on mountains like the Crazy Mountains? So, like, you Democrats out there, don't give me this garbage about how you Democrats are the real ones that protect our public lands and our wild and open mountains. If that was true, you wouldn't be passing laws at the federal level and trying to pass them at the state level that encouraged and allowed and promoted industrial wind farms on places like the Crazy Mountains and any other mountain range in Montana. And that's what they do, and that's what they did. And Democrats support that. And Democrats want windmills on places like Crazy Mountains. So it's just a pet peeve of mine lately.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, one day, you know, kind of back and forth fight between the most powerful man in the world and the richest man in the world. I'm sorry, I'm kind of nonplussed by it, to be very honest. It just really doesn't mean that much to me, and it seems like that's, oh, what about this fight? Hannity, what are you going to do? You got nothing. And I think it's just unrealistic to expect people that are, you know, used to being in charge and getting their way and admitting, like they did a week ago, that they don't agree on everything. They agree about it on 80% of things, that they might have a fight.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area for today, highs from the mid-80s in Bozeman to around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, low temperatures from the mid-50s in Bozeman, low 60s in Billings. And on Tuesday, with a mix of clouds and sun, a few afternoon showers or thundershowers possible, mainly in Bozeman, with high temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montana Talks. One of the best things about Montana Talks is you never know exactly what we're going to talk about. I mean, we had Michael Marino talking about this big news for a Helena, Montana gun company and a big award they just got from the United States Army, leading to some big manufacturing news here in Montana as well. Then we took you to Lockwood and the new baby box at the Lockwood Fire Station. What are we going to talk about tomorrow? Well, why don't you tell us? Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. The number, 294-0970.
Everyone. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks. Got one more thing here about Montana news. By the way, hopefully we're going to have Tim in Billings joining us for the 7 o'clock hour. So don't miss that. State wildfire briefing indicates the fire season could be significant. This is a story from Jordan Hansen. With one fire blowing up over the weekend and an expected worse than average wildfire season across Montana, Gianforte had touted the efforts of the DNRC, saying they've been able to keep 95% of wildfire starts to 10 acres or less since 2021. Governor Gianforte recognized proactive preparation, coordination, and teamwork. The state has seen an early start to its fire season this year. DNRC director said her agency is more prepared than ever. Thank the legislature for wildlife bills. And then this goes also on to talk about how Senator Sheehy has passed a legislation through both chambers at the federal level. And then, of course, it goes on here and blames all of the increased fire risk and everything else on man-made global warming, which, by the way, maybe I'll get to the man-made global warming story here in just a second. So U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy from Montana helped push a bipartisan wildfire bill through Congress recently called the Aerial Firefighting Enhancement Act, and it's headed to Trump's desk. The bill reauthorizes the sale of both airplanes and parts from the DOD for aerial firefighting efforts. Sheehy, of course, had founded a company. By the way, there was also a story about Tim Sheehy basically going above and beyond in terms of his ethical requirements and putting all of his shares or assets or whatever you want to call them in a blind trust. And so, you know, that's, you know, good on Tim Sheehy for doing that. Obviously, obviously, that's a good thing to do. Tim Sheehy's quoted in here and saying, eliminating bureaucratic obstacles to fight wildfires more quickly and aggressively is America first common sense. I appreciate my colleagues in the House and the Senate for their support. I look forward to seeing this bipartisan bill cross the finish line so we can better support the brave first responders on the front lines fighting wildfires across the country. And so that's the prediction. And frankly, I kind of hope it doesn't come true, as, you know, nobody wants to see a bad wildfire season. And, you know, especially disappointing to see here in early June already, the smoke coming down from Canada. Not cool. Let me see if I've got this audio working. I listen to Rand Paul here.
With Ron Johnson, including Florida's Rick Scott and Kentucky's Rand Paul, about the need to cut more from this bill. Joining us now is the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, Senator Rand Paul. Senator, good to have you. Thank you so much for being here. Your reaction to what you just heard from Caroline Leavitt in terms of the savings that this bill brings about?
I think to put it in perspective, most people estimate that over the next 10 years, the United States will add about $2 trillion a year, $20 trillion in debt. the savings, if you don't think the taxes or the tax cuts will cause a reduction in revenue, which I can accept that, and you say, well, the spending cuts are $1.5 trillion, that means instead of borrowing $20 trillion, we'd borrow $18.5 trillion. So the spending cuts are not nearly enough. The other way to look at this is ask year to year, will we spend more money next year than last year? The answer is going to be yes. Will the deficit be over $2 trillion next year? The answer is yes. This is why my big objection to the bill is they want to ask us to expand their credit line to $5 trillion. So if your teenager at 16, you gave them a credit card, they maxed it out on booze and gambling, and they were $2,000 in debt, and they said, well, Mom, Dad, I want more credit. Would you give them more credit? Congress is like drunken teenagers. They're terrible with money. The example of the explosion of debt is awful and not to be commended. We should be giving them very limited tranches of debt expansion and make them prove to us that they are good with money.
Isn't that funny? Make Congress prove to us that they're good with money. Hard to disagree with some of the stuff Senator Rand Paul is saying there. But we're going to go ahead and move into the end of the hour, 7 o'clock news break. Let's go.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story of economic growth in communities and regions around Montana goes on, even if very little attention is paid to it. Short of the occasional bad news story about a closure or shutdown, news on the economy of the state is hard to find. Let's fill that void a little bit with the mid-year assessment of how we're doing. Most of us know that Bozeman and Gallatin Valley are pacing growth, but the degree to which that economy is leaving the rest of the state behind is still stunning. Since 2018, the state economy has grown by about 28%, a great performance. Gallatin County's growth is more than double that, over 60%. It might be more surprising to hear that growth in Missoula and Helena are practically equal, right at the state average. With Missoula suffering two separate wood products closures, its continued growth is a pleasant surprise. Two cities that have not kept up with the state average are Billings and Great Falls for a variety of reasons. Visit our webpage to see more. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.